Welcome in, Electrification. And we took a little break. It's because we were busy, just like everybody else. But we're back on the air here with our Sensible Heating and Cooling blog and podcasts and all the information you want. Make sure you slide us a comment or a question if you have one. You can do that on our website, sensibleheat.net. Corey Lopez, Phil Jensen here alongside. And
hello, hello.
I'm looking at you through a haze of smoke, just like we have over the last couple of years, it feels like, when we start to get into spring, start to push towards summer. And these aren't any wildfires that are even close to us. All of these are the Canadian wildfires that have been going on. But, boy, it's causing some real problems. But we have a fix for that, right?
Yeah. We need to move farther away from Canada.
Well, there's that. We could go down to Mexico, but they have a volcano going down there by Mexico City. So there's another problem when it comes to
everywhere.
Air quality.
Yep.
But we're talking more specifically about indoor air quality, IAQ, as it's referred to more in the business, in the service industry, when you talk HVAC. So there's a lot of different things. We talk about air purification, air filtration, all of this stuff. We have blogs that talk about that, but why not just get it straight from Phil Jensen's mouth here? And you've got a new product, new to us, essentially, that really does the job when it comes to dealing with, and we're not just going to talk about the smoke that's outside, but allergens that would be out there. I mean, it is spring in Colorado. We're headed towards summer. There's all kinds of things flying around outside, right?
Yeah, I was talking to a customer yesterday who was really struggling with allergies, and he was showing me some innovative things that he's discovered, and he's actually working on a project for schools that is trying to clean up the air in schools, so that's how big a topic this is, because there's, you know, everybody's really recognizing that it's not just the viruses that we were scared of during the pandemic, but, you know, there's other, just so many pollutants out there that we have to deal with, and we all have to breathe. We all have to drink water. We all have to breathe.
Well, so let's start with this and work our way up to some of the products that are available from Sensible. But if you have a traditional HVAC system, heating or cooling, is it better if you have a more efficient system? Does that help with air quality?
Yeah, the new systems are really helping with that. And the reason is because the fans are designed to run 100% of the time if you want them to. And they use a lot less power than they used to. They've got what's called an EC motor, and the old motors would use 3 to 5 times more electricity to just run the fan. So with the new furnaces and air handlers, they can run the fan all the time. You're not going to spend as much on electricity. And since you can run the fan all the time, then you can circulate the air, which is how all these indoor air quality devices work, is, you know, they depend on air circulating through the house.
So you can add things to traditional systems to help with indoor air quality, right?
Right. So the three big categories are humidity, air filtration, and air purification. So we have products that address all those different things. You know, people sometimes get confused about the difference between air filtration and air purification. But humidity is fairly easy to comprehend. You know, in this area in Colorado, it's very dry for the most part in the wintertime. And in the summertime, we don't need as much humidification. And so in the wintertime, a lot of people want a humidifier that will help add moisture to the house. And there's different ways to do that. So that's kind of the first line of defense. We can either put in steam humidifiers, or what's called a bypass or fan-powered humidifier. And those have different ways of delivering humidity into the air, into the house. And it's usually through the ductwork. We can also put in independently mounted humidifiers that can add humidity to the house. But people ask me a lot what a good humidity range is, and usually it's between 30% and 40% for this area. People are concerned about mold if you put in too much humidity, and so if you keep the humidity levels, you know, you can actually get more mold at dry below 20% humidity than you can at the middle range of 20% to 50%. So we, in our house, we like to try to keep it around 30% to 35%. Seems to be a good range for us. We do that with a steam humidifier, and there is some more maintenance to it. It does cost more with electrical, but without question, you can humidify the air, which is great for breathing. It's good for wood floors. It's good for cabinets. It helps this house stay more sealed up, because if it gets too dry, then wood shrinks up and your seals start to leak, and you get more outdoor air in. So there's a lot of good reasons to make sure there's enough humidity in the house.
All four seasons?
So some people prefer evaporative coolers that add humidity in the summertime because they like that feeling. Other people prefer to have it drier, which is what an air conditioner does. It's not just cooling the air, it's also taking the moisture out of the air. So depending on which system that you have, it's, you know, it's okay to do it either way, but if you have an air conditioner, you really don't want to add humidity from a humidifier at the same time, because then they'll be fighting each other.
So you walk into somebody's house, you see they have a traditional HVAC system, traditional, so I state that a different way, traditional furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Probably gas furnace. Most of them around Colorado are, although that is changing, and that's a topic for another day or another podcast.
Yeah, that's what we do.
But traditional air conditioner, and they say, I want better indoor air quality. And you start talking about, which we just spent 5 minutes on, humidity. It's important here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You've got to crank it up a little bit within the house. So it's not so dry. What's the next step?
So the next step is air filtration, and along with that, air purification. So it's sort of a 1-2 punch. And the reason that we do it that way is because, in general, air filters are designed to take out particulates down to 0.3 microns, which is pretty small. But there's also other things in the air that are smaller particles, and also there's what's called volatile organic compounds, which is VOCs for short, and those are usually sort of a gas-type composition. Hmm. So if we put in an air filter, it's going to take out a lot of the stuff that causes people to sneeze and have problems with breathing and things like that, but it doesn't really take care of everything. So the second part of that 1-2 punch is air purification, which, you know, there's been a lot of different ways of trying to do that. One that was popular for a long time is UV lights, and those were okay, but they have some limitations to them. So the trend has been towards ion generation, and there's several companies that produce, that have products that essentially what they're doing is charging the particles that are passing across this, and what happens is as they get either a positive or a negative charge, then they attract to each other and they tend to kind of clump together. And once they clump together, then they can be filtered out of the air because now they're 0.3 microns or larger. So that's a great way to filter the air. A lot of people are concerned about ozone production from those devices, but the devices that we work with are, the manufacturers are very aware of that ozone being a problem, so they're very careful about how they produce the charged ions, and so then, you know, that should mitigate any issues about around the ozone.
And again, the companies that you work with that do this, it goes hand in hand with everything else with electrification, whether it's what Sensible does with geothermal or air source heat pumps, if you're not going to go all the way, you know, geothermal right away, and really back to electrification, you work with these companies that are concerned about things like that, like the ozone.
Right. You know, so
it's part of that culture of not only of the people that you work with, but it's the culture of who you do business with.
Right. So we want to work with companies that, you know, offer best business practices in terms of their outlook on the environment and sustainability and those kinds of things. So, you know, the trend has definitely been to build tighter houses, and along with tighter homes come some challenges of trying to figure out how to make sure that the air is being, that it's clean to breathe, because once you seal up the house and you're not getting air in from the outside, it's sort of a double-edged sword in that you're, you know, you're keeping out the outdoor pollutants, but the indoor pollutants still exist, so you have to deal with that. And so one of the other big things that we do is what's called, well, it's their products called either energy or heat recovery ventilators. And so because of us trying to conserve energy and reduce the amount of energy that's being used, you know, we're tightening up these houses, but then, you know, in a lot of cases, people still want fresh outdoor air, which, you know, makes a lot of sense, especially if you live, you know, in an area that has, you know, pretty clean outside air. But when you bring in outside air, it could be 20 degrees outside, or it could be 100 degrees outside. So what an energy recovery ventilator does is it literally is reclaiming energy that's being exhausted from the indoor air and exchanging it to the air that's coming in from the outside. And we can get those up to about 60% efficient. And all it is a fan with a media that helps to exchange that heat. And then what that does is it reduces the amount of energy that you need to use to be able to heat or cool the home. But it also serves the purpose of bringing in outside air, which is better for you to breathe. So there's a lot of interest in that, especially in homes that are, you know, being built currently, because the building standards have gotten so tight that general contractors are very concerned about making sure that they meet all the current code requirements and things like that.
That's it's interesting how you can, and again, living in Colorado, you get it. People are like, well, it's the fresh mountain air.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Which is true if you live in the mountains, but not necessarily right in the middle of the city.
No, that's very true.
Especially off a busy street or,
yeah,
you know, some place close to a highway, things like that. And, of course, like you mentioned in the beginning, unfortunately, in the summers, we're experiencing a lot more smoke pollution. And fortunately, I haven't heard of any volcanoes nearby, so we're...
Yes.
At least avoiding that part.
Yeah, just don't go down to Mexico City.
So, but that's, you know, hopefully we don't have any issues from Yellowstone or anything like that. But
right.
But, you know, at the same time, though we have all this great fresh air most of the time, you know, there's been articles in the paper lately that, you know, Denver had, I think, the second or third worst pollution in the world.
Right.
Recently, you know, in large part because of those fires. And, you know, we live in a kind of a bowl right next to the mountains here, and when we get that temperature inversion, it just traps all that air down in here, and that really happens, you know, summer and winter, so, you know, so there's really no escaping it if you live in the metro area.
So you have, let's talk about the products. The iWave is one that has been written about. You can find them at the, you know, on our blog site at sensibleheat.net, and just click on the blog there. You put in IAQ as a search, a lot about the iWave and the things that it does. But there's another product out there as well. So talk about both of those.
Yeah, so there's the iWave, which is designed for smaller homes. And then we have what's called a Purify unit, which is probably more appropriate in a larger home. And what's cool about the Purify unit is that it actually has a sensor that you can plug in into your office, and it works by remote control. And what it does is that it counts the particles, and it can actually bring the furnace fan on based on what your particulate count is. So in our house, we try to keep the particulate count under 100 if we can. But, you know, we see it range up in the range of, you know, anywhere from 150 up to over 1,000 particulates. And so what it can do is it can actually activate the fan on the furnace to circulate the air, so it can filter out a lot of that thing, a lot of that. And then, so the other part to the, aside from the sensor, is a piece that mounts into the plenum of the furnace, above the furnace, and that's what's producing, it's the ion generator. So it's producing those charged ions to be able to help pull all those particles together so they can be filtered out. So that's one product that we use on the air purification. The iWave is less expensive, again, designed for more of a smaller home. There's also some products that we sell that are designed for medium-sized homes called GPS, and that's also a very good product. So that's kind of the ion generation part of it. And then for air filtration, we like to use a product called Premier One, and it's a product that is very simple. What I like about it is that it's so simple. And the concept is real simple, too. It's not really an electronic air cleaner in the sense of the bug zapper type of air cleaner.
That's a good example. That's a nice pull. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So those tend to irritate people because of that zapping sound whenever a dust particle hits the elements. And those require it's kind of a hassle to clean them. I mean, they're good, they're effective, but they, they're just a lot, if it takes a lot of maintenance, then people tend not to maintain them.
Yeah.
And so the ones that we like are real simple. It slides in to where your normal furnace filter would go, and the type of media that it uses is not restrictive to airflow. One mistake that a lot of people make is they say, well, I'm going to get a filter with a higher MERV rating, but then it restricts the airflow, and then your air conditioner or your furnace doesn't work as efficiently. So we try to steer people away from the super high MERV filters for that reason. But what this Premier One filter is it's a filter that gets charged with electrostatic electricity. And like anybody knows that uses a computer, you know, when you have those electronic devices on, you can see that dust forming around all the fans and the intake and exhaust fans. And that's exactly what's happening with this filter, is it's charging up those dust particles, and it really attracts them into the filter. So it's kind of amazing how much dust it'll trap, and then it's a great tandem to use with one of the ion generators. So that's kind of our favorite filter. Of course, we do provide other kinds of filters too, which are more traditional, like the media filters, and we do maintenance on the electronic air cleaners and things like that. But what's nice about the Premier One is that you take every 3 months or so, you just take it out, you slide it out, you unplug it, you take out the old media, which is usually pretty gross by then, and then you just put in a new media, and the medias can be ordered either through us or online. They're pretty inexpensive, and then you just slide it back in place, and you're good to go for another 3 months or so.
Yeah, and there's the ease of cleaning it, not a lot of maintenance involved with it at all.
Right,
and so people will tend to do that a little more often because it's not very hard.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's easy to do, I mean, that's, maybe a 5-minute process by the time you walk downstairs to the furnace and slide out the filter and take out the old one, throw it in the trash. You're talking all of 5 minutes to get it done. With the electronic air cleaners that you have to take apart and put them in your bathtub or hose them down or whatever, then you can spend half an hour or more, cleaning those things off and letting them dry out and all that.
Right.
So that's kind of the filtration piece of it. There's the humidification piece of it. As far as the energy recovery ventilators go to bring in fresh outside air, those can be pretty involved. We have to run some ductwork and some controls, and the box is not inexpensive, so it's more involved. But for people that are motivated to bring in fresh outside air, that's a great way to save some energy and still be able to bring in fresh air from the outside.
Yeah, and bottom line with all of this, we're talking about sustainability here. We're headed that way, and really we talk mostly about traditional, HVAC systems that we have. When you put a new system in, when there's more to the electrification, just having these products on there, your systems don't have to work that hard.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing we try to pay attention to. And so, these systems will work well with either these IAQ pieces will work very well either with the old traditional systems or with the new, electric systems and heat pumps and that kind of thing. One thing that we really are concerned about with heat pumps especially is that we don't restrict airflow, and that's even more critical than it is with a furnace or just a traditional air conditioner. So we really want to pay attention to putting in the right filter. If we don't put in the right filter, and the system can start to have problems more frequently and things like that. So that's a really important piece of what we look at. So this all ties in together. And we just want to make sure that the system is, reliable for as long a period as possible with minimal maintenance.
Check it all out, sensibleheat.net. That's where all the information is. You can listen to our podcast here as we've talked a little bit about IAQ, but we thought it was appropriate here in June to really talk about it. Just coming out of, the Canadian fires, the smoke is going to, it'll come settle back in over the top of us. From time to time, and then, it is wildfire season, unfortunately, here in Colorado, and it will be in California when the Santa Ana's kick up there, and we're going to get more smoke rolling into our area. It just seems like that's kind of the way that it is. We're going to get other people's problems. That's kind of mess with our air quality here, and, Sensible can not only help with trying to filter out some of those problems, but you can have the best IAQ you can possibly have just inside your home for all seasons, certainly. So sensibleheat.net, the place to go to find out more information. Leave a comment, a question for us. You can certainly do that here on the podcast as well. Good stuff. Did we touch on everything? Well, probably not everything, but most everything when it comes to indoor air quality and just quality of air that you live with in general.
Yeah, I think we touched on most everything. I just would like to echo the sentiments of Rick Moranis and shout out to the Canadians and take off, eh?
That's what we're going to do. We're going to take off. And keep your smoke up there, will you? Keep your smoke up there. For Phil Jensen, I'm Corey Lopez. We'll talk to you again real soon and talk a little more about electrification, as we always do on our electrification podcast.